Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I'm Guy Swan, your host. And I've got a really fun one today. We're doing a quick read, and I would not have stumbled upon this one if it weren't for the fact that I actually don't know when this came out. This is by, I believe, the creator, or at least one of the people involved in the Breeze wallet, and that's B-R-E-E-Z. I know many... like a year ago, I talked about the Breeze wallet with spelled correctly with an E on the end, which is the Tumblebit implementation from the Nicola Doria and like the Stratus team, like the Stratus token. It's actually also a Stratus wallet, but it's a Tumblebit implementation for Bitcoin. I was really excited about it as like a privacy thing way back in the day. And I believe it actually came out, and like that wallet is actually a thing, but I just don't think it's being used very much. And maybe CoinJoin was just a more efficient. I don't really know. I hadn't kept up with it in a while. But this is not that. This is a Breeze wallet, B-R-E-E-Z, and it's a Lightning wallet. And I don't want to spoil it if you have not checked it out yet. Because it's very new and it's really, really interesting. Like, they have done more to push as little requirement, like just like needing no understanding or anything that's going on within the wallet to the user that I have seen yet. And if anybody is going to overcome, like if their channel management, if like what they're doing on the back end works, if they're really good at implementing this stuff, this could be a huge, huge step. I did not think we were this close to having a product like this, at all. I thought we were probably still at least half a year, maybe a full year away from something at this level. And I thought we would need a number of the technologies that they talk about in this article we're going to read today to actually do what they're doing. And it is a non-custodial wallet. That's the big thing. This is a non-custodial Lightning wallet. Right now, it's only on Android. I sent a message and was chatting back and forth, and they said iOS is coming soon. That's in the timeline here, and hopefully it will be very soon because I want to play with it on my own device as opposed to other people's. But they have a great article called Lightning at the End of the Tunnel: Overcoming Bitcoin's User Experience Challenges. And it's going to talk about all the main hurdles to designing a product for essentially the mainstream. Like, how do we get people who don't know what's going on, who don't know what a channel is? Like, that's one of those things that's critical. You shouldn't have to explain what a channel is. That should be the software's job. That alone is just one of the many, many different problems or challenges that Lightning has to overcome. And this is an article all about overcoming those challenges. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this one. I undoubtedly am going to have some commentary on it. Hopefully I have plenty of time. But without further ado, in case I don't, let's jump right into our article. Again, this is published on Medium.com. I don't even think I said the guy's name. Roy Scheinfeld, S-H-E-I-N-F-E-L-D. I did not find him on Twitter, but you can follow Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z, on Twitter. Let's see what their tag was. Let me cover this real quick. And, of course, it doesn't show up in my search. Okay, Breeze underscore tech, B-R-E-E-Z underscore tech. So I'll see if I can find Roy Scheinfeld. Strike up a conversation with him, and maybe I can find him on Twitter as well, but I have not been able to do so yet. But with that, let's go ahead and jump right in to Lightning at the End of the Tunnel: Overcoming Bitcoin's UX Challenges. The Lightning Network is laying the ground for Bitcoin to take the next giant leap in its evolution. Instead of just being an asset for holders, Bitcoin now has the speed and economy to become a universal currency. We stand before the threshold of mass adoption. The only thing holding Bitcoin back is the user experience. Raw technical possibility is not the same as an attractive, engaging, useful experience for all users. But UX is a small term that hides great complexity. It implies many issues for which there are many solutions, each with advantages and disadvantages that different users will value in different ways. For all their differences, we can assume that all users want at least one thing: simple functionality. Any viable solution must do its job simply and efficiently, so the complex technology has to operate seamlessly in the background. Perhaps the best measure of a UX is the gap between the utility it delivers and the complexity it manages to hide. Here we take a look at the various challenges that remain in implementing the Lightning Network as a global payment solution for Bitcoin and the different ways existing and impending technologies can overcome them. Challenge number one, zero configuration. If the primary UX goal is to spare users complexity, the right amount of effort they should have to devote to configuration is zero. None, nada. Autopilot. Lightning Labs has developed the Autopilot feature to reduce the difficulty of configuring a Lightning Network wallet. Autopilot scans the network to determine which routing nodes are actively managing their channel's liquidity and recommends them to users. The idea is to connect new users with the most active routing nodes on the assumption that they will provide the best service. Just like a 24-hour ATM usually provides a better UX than a 6-hour bank teller, active routing nodes should provide users more connectivity and payment flexibility, other things being equal. That's a good start, but plenty of complexity remains. For one thing, users need to fund their own channels. Second, if a user funds a channel herself, she can send those funds down the channel, but she won't be able to receive funds until she's made some transfers. Third, users will have to fund a number of channels for adequate connectivity. Lightning Service Providers, or LSPs. LSPs are basically network hubs. Just like ISPs, they make it easier for users to connect to the network. In the language of Autopilot, an LSP is just a routing node that recommends itself. As an active partner in its users' payment channels, the hub can spare users some further configuration hassles. For example, Breeze funds users' channels with inbound liquidity, letting them receive Bitcoin over the network immediately. BitRefill's Thor service works similarly. LSPs are one big step closer to zero configuration. Centralization is not a concern with LSPs because a number of them exist already, with many more to come, so users can connect to several. In fact, Breeze will soon allow users to select an LSP of their choice, minimizing configuration while preserving decentralization and user autonomy. A good LSP is like a concierge service for your Lightning Network transactions. Challenge number two, a single balance. The Lightning Network is a second layer on top of the Bitcoin mainnet, and users have to dedicate Bitcoin to their payment channels exclusively if they want to use the network. A Satoshi cannot be on the mainnet and the Lightning Network simultaneously. The separation of funds between on-chain and off-chain balances complicates the user experience in two ways. One, managing two balances for one currency is just unnecessary complexity. And two, the off-chain balance is typically spread across multiple payment channels, which limits how much users can spend in any single transaction, at least without AMP, see below. Therefore, in terms of UX, the technical separation between users' on-chain coins and off-chain funds on the Lightning Network is part of the complexity that must disappear into the background. The technology to perform this illusion already exists, and improvements are on the way. Submarine swaps. Submarine swaps transfer funds between the base layer chain and the second layer Lightning network through paid intermediaries, importantly, without trust. In effect, submarine swaps can bridge users' on-chain and off-chain balances. Breeze uses submarine swaps to move on-chain Bitcoin directly to the user's Lightning node without the need to send the funds to a local Bitcoin wallet first. As a result, users only see and manage their Lightning balance without a need to manage a separate on-chain balance. Automatic rebalancing. Another characteristic of the Lightning network that could force users to deal with multiple channel balances is the dispersal of their funds across multiple channels. If a user's funds are split equally across five payment channels, making a payment above 20% of her total balance presents a challenge. She needs to find a way to reallocate those funds to the desired payment channel. Currently, automatic rebalancing is probably the best way to work around this obstacle. In effect, a user reallocates her Bitcoin by paying herself funds from the channels with excess capacity into the one that needs topping up. Ideally, rebalancing occurs in the background to hide the seams between the channels from the user. Automatic rebalancing can give users access to all their funds for any transaction. Atomic Multipath Payments, or AMPs. As a means to achieve a single balance, AMPs will, once released, produce the same result as automatic rebalancing, but they do so more efficiently. AMPs split a payment into several smaller pieces that take different routes before being reconstituted in the recipient's wallet. The protocol ensures that the transfer can only be registered as successful if all the pieces do indeed arrive at their common destination, which prevents confusion and fraud. AMPs overcome the dispersal of funds across channels by routing Bitcoin from multiple channels to the single desired recipient without prior local rebalancing. It's like having your friends meet at the restaurant instead of having them all meet at your house before going to the restaurant. Again, this function can be automated, letting the user forget about how many coins are on which channel. Challenge number 3, inbound capacity. The funds in a payment channel are split between the two nodes at either end. Some are local and some are remote. If the remote balance depletes to zero, the local user will no longer be able to receive payments. If, say, a retailer receives far more payments than he makes, his customers will eventually lose the ability to pay because all the funds on the channel will already be on the retailer's side. A few solutions exist to preserve the two-way functionality of payment channels. Connecting to LSPs. Since the inbound capacity problem depends on how funds are split between a user's local balance and the remote balance at the other end, LSPs can help by actively managing the balance at their own end. For example, Breeze funds users' channels as soon as they open, giving them the ability to receive funds immediately, and it manages their inbound capacity automatically. Other examples of LSPs that provide inbound liquidity include LNBig.com and BitRefill's Thor. Dual-funded channels. As it stands, one party opens a channel and the user on the other end cannot use the channel until the first initiates a transaction. However, there is a promising proposal to introduce dual-funded channels. Two users would open a dual-funded channel together with starting balances at each end, giving both sides inbound and outbound capacity right away. Loop out. Using Lightning Lab's loop feature, users can also remove funds from their local balance and move the coins to another wallet, onto the chain, or into cold storage. Removing these funds locally gives the user on the other end the chance to top up and transfer more. Looping out solves the inbound capacity problem, but it's far from the UX panacea. Before they can loop funds out, users need a functional Bitcoin wallet. So long, single balance. Looping also requires channels to be pre-funded. The less experience a user has, the greater these obstacles will appear. Challenge number 4, effortless payments. Transferring fiat can be so smooth that the sender doesn't even notice. That's the whole idea behind direct debit and pickpockets. To send digital funds from one device to another, data needs to flow between them. Scanning QR codes is one way many wallets use to transfer data between devices. It works, and most people with a smartphone have had to do this at least a few times, so the inconvenience is perhaps bearable. Bearable inconvenience, though, is a hallmark of a UX in need of improvement. Even under optimal conditions, with good lighting and no jostling, QR codes are annoying. In low light or a rocking bus, though, trying to scan a QR code is as much fun as reading Braille printed on sandpaper. There has to be a better way than QR. And no, copy-paste is not a better way. Links. Links are nothing more than addresses for data. They're easy to use, and they can be transmitted in any text-based medium, like email or text message. As a means to transfer payment information between devices, links are the wheel that QR codes never needed to reinvent. With links, payment execution is a smooth, effortless process. Breeze's Connect to Pay is a great way to see this solution at work. Sending a Lightning payment can be as easy as sending a text message, and receiving a payment is as easy as reading one. It's like Venmo, but with Bitcoin, and like Dropbit, but off-chain. Near Field Communication, or NFC. NFC is very convenient for payments at short range. It also facilitates different hardware, giving users the option of using cards or their mobile devices. For face-to-face payments, and greater than 90% of retail purchases are still in brick-and-mortar stores, the UX of a well-conceived NFC transfer is hard to beat. All right, let's take a break right here. I'm going to get something to drink, and we'll be right back with challenge number 5, instantaneous payments. Challenge number 5, instantaneous payments. A fiat wire transfer can take a couple of days. A domestic transfer or card payment takes seconds, and passing cash from one hand to another is instantaneous. Lightning has to beat fiat at its best, but two processes in the Lightning network can present users with delays. 1. Initially opening a user's channel, which has to be recorded on the chain. And 2. Keeping that channel's state current with the Bitcoin chain and updating the Lightning network graph. The good news is that the first delay can be reduced to minutes, and the second can be eliminated entirely. LSPs. A new payment channel has to be posted to the chain. That means a delay of at least 10 minutes before a user can start sending and receiving payments over the Lightning network. Compared to acquiring a new credit card or even signing up for a fiat payment service like PayPal, 10 minutes is not bad at all. Easing the onboarding process and reducing the amount of time new users have to wait before being able to make their first payment is another area where LSPs shine. For example, by paying higher fees, they can accelerate the process of posting users' payment channels to the Bitcoin blockchain and minimize the initial onboarding delay. BitRefill's Thor Turbo channels even give users 500,000 to 5 million Satoshis of outbound liquidity immediately, for a price. But since Thor Turbo channels open even before on-chain confirmation, they can only send payments initially, and they do so without Bitcoin's underlying benefits. Background sync. Any Bitcoin wallet worthy of the name needs to stay in sync with the mainnet. Otherwise, anything could happen with the user's funds, and syncing needs to happen in the background, or the lag when opening the app will be a frustrating experience. Different syncing solutions demand different amounts of trust from the users, depending on how much control over their money and their data they have to sacrifice. Low-trust solutions let users maintain control over their money and their data. Neutrino, BIP-157, provides the raw, low-trust technology, but if Neutrino has to re-sync every time users open the app, they'll have to wait. So a UX-sensitive implementation has to hide Neutrino's constant updates in the background. To give users even more control, Breeze syncs Neutrino over a node of the user's own choosing. No other Lightning Network app gives users more privacy or control. Trampoline payments. At the moment, a user's Lite client has to download the network graph and calculate the best route from among all possible routes. As the network grows, we'll need a more efficient way to route payments than downloading the complete graph. Trampoline payments would drastically reduce the amount of data and computation required by routing a payment first to a known trampoline node, which would then either pass it on to the recipient or to the next trampoline node, and so on until the payment reaches its recipient. Instead of having to survey the whole graph, a Lite client only needs to know a few trampoline nodes, and the rest takes care of itself. Challenge number 6, topping up naturally. Wallets empty. All wallets, whether physical or virtual, leather and digital alike. It's one of life's tragedies. To remain useful, they need occasional topping up. While there's no way around the need for topping up, there are different ways to realize it. Fiat to Lightning interoperability. As long as fiat dominates the currency markets, everyone will need a way to convert the value of their fiat into Bitcoin on the Lightning network. For the time being, exchanges are the inevitable solution. Exchanges, however, are not all equal. They can do users a great service by offering conversion directly from fiat into Lightning, bypassing the intervening step of a Bitcoin wallet. Breeze cooperates with Fast Bitcoins to give users a safe, easy, in-app means to acquire the Bitcoin they need with the fiat that they have. Submarine swaps. Since submarine swaps allow users to move funds back and forth between the Bitcoin mainnet and the Lightning network, they're a convenient way to let users keep their wallets full of Bitcoin. And with some canny design, the users won't even know they're doing it. Challenge number 7, enabling large transactions. In order to transfer over a payment channel, a user has to commit funds to it. Since there is no overdraft, no transfer can exceed the amount of funds on the respective payment channel, in theory. Practically speaking, transaction size and channel capacity are two different measures. But the general rule applies that a user cannot shift more beads on a given abacus wire than the wire holds. In practice, users will likely have their funds distributed across a number of payment channels, but a user might want to combine those amounts to transfer a large sum over a single channel. Users need to be able to shift their beads from one wire to another at will. Ideally, they would be able to ignore the underlying channel architecture entirely and just pay. Pay whomever, whenever, and as much as they like. AMPs. A corollary of AMPs providing users with a single balance, see above, is that they could tap funds from all of a user's various channels to enable whatever transfer the user wants. Wumbo channels. Appropriately enough for a new technology, payment channels are limited to a maximum of 0.167 Bitcoin as a security feature. Wumbo channels are one method proposed to relax that limit. What's Wumbo? Patrick explains it best. It's the opposite of mini. If the two nodes at either end of the channel agree to remove the limit, they create a Wumbo channel, and thus begins the science and art of Wumbology. Splicing. Splicing, especially combined with AMPs, could remove limits on channel capacity from users' consciousness entirely. With splicing, a channel can be closed and a new channel can be opened, with funds being added or removed in the process, and all in a single transaction. Channel capacity would remain a feature of the network, but it could be tailored to fit the current transaction. This feature would also effectively obscure any difference between the Lightning network and the Bitcoin main chain from a non-expert user's perspective. The image he actually has attached to this is actually a really neat image. It's got your regular thread of a rope wrapped around, and then threads have been coming from the sides, have been wrapped in to knot and join in with that rope. And then the question is, see where one ends and the other begins? Exactly, that's splicing. You can't tell which thread is the one that was roped in from outside or was part of the rope originally. That's kind of a neat little visualization, I thought. Mass adoption wasn't built in a day, but maybe in a couple of decades? While fiat sets the UX standard Bitcoin has to beat, it also has the benefit of centuries of practice. Bitcoin has come a long way in a short decade, and its inherent benefits mean that fiat's days are numbered. Mass adoption has been three quarters away for years, but there is finally lightning at the end of the tunnel. The biggest and last remaining obstacle impeding Bitcoin's mass adoption is the UX. The Lightning Network is the second layer Bitcoin has long needed, and the technologies we've outlined here give it the speed, economy, and intuitiveness that users need now. If habit is the only thing left that speaks in fiat's favor, Bitcoin wins by default. All right, and that will close out this article about the Breeze wallet by Roy Scheinfeld. And I actually saw that on his actual Medium page, he's the co-founder and CEO of Breeze, which I figured he was a founder or something, but I didn't know for certain until I saw his actual Medium page on this. And the only Twitter that he has linked, so he might not have a Twitter page outside of this one, but that is the Breeze _tech. And again, Breeze without the last E, Twitter tech. So this was a really, really great article. And I love that it like it really broke down all of the major like UX points of failure, like where Lightning is really stressing the user experience, essentially. And failing to provide an easy solution to the payments problem, and then hitting each technology that could really benefit or at least get around or lessen any of those individual challenges as things continue to develop moving forward. Now, the Breeze wallet that I saw, this all came about because I saw the Breeze wallet in action, and it was funny. The guy I was talking to, a friend of mine at the Bitcoin meetup, was showing me this thing. He said it was so easy to use that he didn't even know how to use it. Like it obscured so much of what was going on that he didn't know what he was supposed to do. And it was really funny because he said he sent money to it, like I can't remember, like 60,000 Satoshis or something like that, to it with a Bitcoin transaction. And then he just had that amount, 60,000 Satoshis or whatever it is, in his actual balance. And then he immediately went looking for, all right, how do I open up a channel? Where's my channel balances? Where is this? Like he ended up looking, like immediately searching out all the things that you would normally see with a Lightning wallet these days. Is how do I open up a channel? What's my balance type thing? And he couldn't actually see any of it. He just had a balance. And then he just made a Lightning payment with it. And it struck him that, like, this was all just completely just disappeared in the background. He sent Bitcoin to his wallet and got it in the form of a Lightning channel. And that was just a huge, I mean, I genuinely didn't think that we would have, I mean, this is a beta for Breeze, but this is a huge step. Because I really didn't think we would get something that would be able to obscure it. And obviously, this is a beta. So maybe, like, without a doubt, they're probably going to run into issues. They're, like, rebalancing is going to be a job that they have to deal with regularly. But I love the idea of LSPs, of the fact that they're now providing a service by managing and moving capacity on the Bitcoin Lightning Network and between channels that allows them to obscure that away for their users because their users simply have a channel open with them. But keep in mind, this is a channel that they have pushed to the user when you fund the balance onto the wallet. So you hold the funds. You hold the keys. This is a non-custodial wallet. They are simply acting as your bridge node that will do all of the inbound capacity, that will manage the channels and do everything, and you don't have to think about it at all, which is amazing. That's exactly what you need for anybody who's not been in Bitcoin. Somebody who's onboarding into the Bitcoin experience needs something that simple. and that payments can just immediately go from there. And anything that they do in the wallet, unless there's a splice needed, a rebalancing needed, like they need to loop out or loop in a payment or something like that, unless one of those situations comes up, none of this is on-chain. It's all off-chain payments. And there's so many different, like, there's so much nuance and, like, interesting little dynamics at play here because, like, privacy is still actually, unless you're paying somebody specifically within the LSP that you're using, like, let's say, like, we have, like, 10 people connect all to Breeze's LSP, and we all have one channel. Well, no, technically, it could still be out. Like, I'm trying to think about the privacy issue of having a strict LSP that you're connecting to, like, by default. Like, if I'm using Breeze, well, then I would probably want to use Breeze as my LSP because, well, I'm trusting them with their wallet. They're probably going to have, if their wallet is the best experience that I'm looking for, well, then they're probably going to be the best LSP for the job, considering I'm using their wallet. So if we've got, like, 10 people all connect to Breeze with the Breeze wallet and we all have one channel, well, if I'm sending money to someone else in that, like, group of 10 people, technically Breeze will know where those funds have stopped. But not necessarily, because it's true that particularly if the capacity or the advanced features of the wallet still remain for them to open another channel or a private channel to someone else, or if they had, I wonder how that would work. I don't know. It would probably have to be something that was in the actual Breeze wallet. Or of course Breeze could accept from other wallets to continue being LSPs for them. If there was a private channel somewhere else, they would have no idea that it continued past any of those users. But that's the big thing. If anybody has multiple channels, one with Breeze as an LSP and then one with some other node, LNBig or BitRefill or something like that, well, then even if I'm sending money to BitRefill or to someone else who has a wallet who is connected to BitRefill, Breeze has no idea whether or not it stopped at that person or went on to BitRefill. The one condition in which that is not the case is if I'm using them as my trampoline payment. So that's the issue with trampoline payments, is it cuts down a lot on the whole UX problem, on having to sync or hold the entire network graph, but you are giving up you're giving up privacy to the trampoline payment or the trampoline node that's going to fulfill your payment, because you have to tell them the destination. Or, of course, you have to tell them the destination to the next trampoline payment that will fulfill, like, basically get the rest of the way to your recipient. But then you're immediately running into, like with the trampoline payments, if you have two, that's actually a way to require some degree of collusion in order to figure out where the payment actually ended up, because your first trampoline payment would only know where the next trampoline is going to, and then that trampoline would know the destination. So the second trampoline doesn't know that you're sending the payment, and the first trampoline doesn't know where the payment ended up at. So they would have to exchange information with each other to get the full route of the payment. And this is all because all payments on Lightning are onion routed by default. So even if a person is connected directly to the recipient that's routing the payment, they don't know that it stops there. It doesn't look any different to them when they unwrap their one onion layer that tells them where it's going next. They don't know whether that recipient is where the payment stops or if it continues on. The only way that they can guess that is if the recipient doesn't have any more channels. Therefore, you could assume, unless they had a private channel, which is the example I just went through earlier, you could assume that that was where the payment stopped, particularly, like, depending on, like, what kind of software. Like, if they're using, like, Breeze wallet with, like, the current user experience of that wallet, if they actually manage to achieve what they're trying to achieve and seem to be, it looks like they're achieving, which is just amazing. If they do actually pull that off, well, then they might be able to assume that most users are not expert users who do not have, like, you know, if we get to the point where it's mass adoption, you might have, like, most users might just be using one specific LSP. But there's one other interesting point about the LSP is it immediately screams, centralization. And I like that they added in the comment of centralization is not a problem. But I wish Roy focused on it just a little bit longer, because the difference between like an LSP or an ISP, whereas that's kind of the first analogy that comes to mind, is a huge, huge, like, they could not be more polar opposite. An LSP, like an ISP, is somebody you connect to and share all of your data with, essentially, and you're registering with them. LSPs are just a node on the network. And there is no geographical jurisdiction. Like, it's completely irrelevant where the LSP is on the network. Like, it could be in China, it could be in India. You could have not the slightest clue physically where they are, just as long as they're available on the network to open a channel with, which, if they're an LSP, obviously they're going to be. Then you can just open a channel with them and use them as your routing service, I guess. It's not like they're not routing the payments for you unless you're using them as a trampoline node as well, which obviously I think LSPs, that would probably be a pretty popular thing pretty quickly as that comes about, just because of the RAM problems for like mobile devices. Hopefully, it'll be really interesting to see how all this plays out, because like what we're really building is capital markets. We're building a financial network of liquidity, capacity, and like people talk about how like these are all like huge limitations and stuff. It's like, but this is how you build capital markets. This is how you like structure this stuff. And the fact that it's a market that has that push and pull, that has that supply and demand, has the fees for large transactions, has low fees for little transactions. Like that's exactly how you fund, you create all those market conditions in order to put all the pressures in the right. You need that pricing pressure in order to move liquidity where it needs to go, to push things where it needs to go. And you've got a scarce underlying, like provably secure accounting ledger to deal with all of this value and all of these network connections that is completely trustless, in the sense that like it could be ossified very quickly. It could be the most concrete, uncorruptible ledger in the world, and arguably it already is. There's no ledger that has the degree of security or degree of independence that Bitcoin does right now. Particularly in the digital world, like the comparison is just hilarious. And so it's particularly with LSPs is that you can just connect to anyone in the world. Like if there's 20,000 LSPs out there, like which anybody with a node and who wants to like is good at managing channels or has some clever trick or is really good at routing, like anything, like any developer, like who wants to get in on this could easily become an LSP. They could have safe backups, and like it could be a 14-year-old kid who's incredibly well versed in the Lightning Network and just offers up an LSP that becomes wildly popular because it's good at its job. And it doesn't matter where or who they are, just as long as they're good at being an LSP. It has none of the geographical limitations of something like an ISP. You can, and if Breeze is actually going to make it so that you can like go into a list and just select your LSP of choice, and like maybe there'd be like a reputation market built around this of like user ratings, a Yelp rating system, or I don't know if it's yet there yet, but the Jesse Lawler has a really fun app. Maybe I shouldn't say it. I don't know if it's out yet. I'll hold off on that one, and maybe we'll talk about that later. But I feel like there's a lot of little things working in this regard of like rating nodes and users on the Lightning Network in order to get connections and build reliable channels and stuff like that. And there's a whole lot that can be done there. And again, we're producing a market for these exact types of things. And with And I've been talking about this for a while. Everything that we talk about with a lot of the, like that BitRefill article where we went through all of the different technologies that are coming, submarine swaps, Loop, automatic rebalancing, atomic multipath payments, like all of these things are critical to making these things work on the back end. And the fact that we are able to provide these services on a network where the user still holds the keys. Like, think about this in the sense of, let's use Breeze Technology as, or just Breeze, whatever their name is, as the LSP, and then you have a channel with them. Think about it in the sense that if they get hacked, if they get their computers compromised and lose all of their funds, none of their users lose their funds. If their wallets are still checking to make sure they're not being cheated against, if they maybe have a watchtower on their home computer or whatever it is, as long as their wallet still works and they log in, they won't lose funds. The attacker can close channels and steal Breeze's funds that are locked up into any channels, but the user will get their funds. And because the hacker is the one closing the channels, the hacker is the one that pays the fee. So you even just get your funds back in a Bitcoin wallet attached to your keys, without any. You're not exposed to Breeze as a service. It's a non-custodial service, but they are offering liquidity. They are creating liquidity for you. They're creating routes for you. They're offering a financial service without custodial control. And this is very similar to something like Casa, which is what fascinates me about all this because of this whole multi-signature system, because of these built-in insurance contracts to build payment channels, like all of these, like these Lego pieces of technology can be used to build incredible new relationships, business and service relationships that just are not possible in any other form. Fiat can't do this. Fiat cannot give you a financial service that is non-custodial. It's not possible. This is the killer app of Bitcoin, is non-custodial financial service, non-custodial liquidity providing, non-custodial capital markets and issued assets. The number of things that this can be expanded to and integrated with as we get to these points where people are doing exactly this, tackling every UX problem they possibly can and making it as simple and fast as possible for the user without them losing the control. And that is fascinating. And it just, this is such a neat thing. I literally thought we were a year away before I would see somebody really go gung-ho in trying to pull this off, because I thought AMPs were kind of a really critical part of this whole thing, and trampoline payments are not there yet either, which is also something specifically with routing that is really important. Submarine swaps and Loop, luckily, is there, so I think that's probably the something that would be leaned on very heavily with a service or technology like this. Again, I don't really know. This is basically the degree of my experience with it, is playing around with it on an Android device at the Bitcoin meetup, and then reading this article and having a short chat with the Breeze guys. So we're definitely going to dig further into this, and I'm going to keep a very, very close eye on these guys. And then I also want to keep a close eye on all the other Lightning wallets that are going to try to beat this one. So I'm this just, I feel like this kind of lights a fire under something that was on the way and now is much closer than I really ever thought it would be at this point. So it's just super exciting. I also love that they are using Neutrino to do the syncing in the background, which is exactly what I thought was going to be such a huge thing in the future, is hopefully using Neutrino for a faster sync that enabled privacy or that ensured privacy still, but still doing a full sync in the background, or still syncing the entire like Lightning Network graph and like that sort of thing, but pushing it all into the background. And hopefully we'll see a lot more development on that front as well. And it clearly seems like these guys are pointed in the right direction and have the right perspective on what they can offer with this technology. So lots and lots of exciting stuff going on there. With that, I think I've hit all of my notes here that I wanted to do. Like I said, we're keeping a close eye on this. And so you will probably be hearing more about the Breeze Wallet. I am trying to get in their beta right now. They're only Android. I have an iOS. I have an iPhone. So we are soon on that one. We got a timeline. But I'm going to try to be using this as quickly as I can for as much as I can. I'm going to be feeding those Poyo feed chickens as much as I can as soon as this wallet comes out. Because this is really exciting stuff. And I want to see this. Oh, I want to see this come to fruition. So with that, don't forget to check out Breeze_tech on Twitter, and that's BREEZ. Again, does not have the last E. There is a Breeze wallet with the last E, which is a privacy wallet. So don't confuse the two. Don't forget to follow them. Don't forget to follow Roy Scheinfeld on Medium, who is the co-founder and CEO of Breeze, but you can find him under his actual name on Medium. And drop some applause on this article. Wait, have I not even done that? No, I wasn't logged in before. I'm gonna smash some applause on this article. Clicky, 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 clicky. I'm doing full clicks on this one. Awesome article. I love it. All right, guys. So I will link to all of that stuff so you can check that out. And I have got we got the meetup tonight, and hopefully I'm going to have something. We're going to try to do a big group podcast. It'll be the first time I've tried my mobile setup in that sort of an environment, and we have a new place that is a Bitcoin-only place in the area. So lots of exciting stuff on that front. Maybe I'll have something to actually publish. So keep an ear out for that. And until next time, just don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at TheCryptoEconomy. And of course, if you would like to support the show, this thing is user-funded pretty much. And anything that you can offer is a huge, huge help. You can donate Bitcoin via Lightning with my tippin.me jar. Which you can just find in like under a Twitter post or anything. If you wanted to do that, I've got a Bitcoin address on cryptoeconomy.life, the website at the moment. And the other thing that you can do is just share it out. I got a couple guys. One guy in particular is like my cheerleader. This guy who was posting episodes like crazy. I can't remember. I forgot the username, and it's not in my notifications right now. I got drowned in notifications recently. I can't remember who it was, but I swear I think he was going through and listening. Like at 2 hours later, he would have another post about another episode that he was listening to. So he's probably been binge listening to this show for the last little while. So that cracked me up. But that's a huge thing that you guys can do is just share it out and get it out there on Twitter, any social media or anything. And it's a wonderful way to spread this show and help support the work I'm doing. So I will catch you all tomorrow with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. I am Guy Swan. That's who you're listening to. This is where you are. And until next time, take it easy, guys.